You know, last week I said it was my last message on expect. Remember that? Well, I got few people that remember that. I wouldn't even have to, I don't guess they even had to say anything. But I got to thinking about some things and so forth and so on. So I got another message on expect. This one is called Seeing Your Expectations Become a Reality. I guess I want to speak more from a practical side of it. You know, how many of you ever been in a hurry and you stopped the drive-thru was really packed, so you stopped at the restaurant, and so you run inside thinking that you go, and there's not hardly anybody in there, but you get behind, and there's only one person taking orders, and you get behind this person that's just standing there looking at the menu and looking at the menu, and you're in a hurry, and you're standing there. And they looking at the menu, and they keep looking at the menu, and they keep... Anybody ever been there? Know what I'm talking about? You know what? You know, the point I'm trying to make, until they say something, they can't expect to get anything. Until they tell that person what they want, they can't expect to get a thing. Right? You know, James chapter 1. Now, I know most of you don't like to go to James, because Brother James gets a little hard on us, but as they used to say down home where I come from, he lays the wood on you. Anybody know what that means? I say Miss Pauline, she from Texas there, she know what that means. All right. Everybody found James 1. Anybody hadn't found James 1, raise your hand. There'll be somebody there that knows every book of the Bible, then they'll help you find it right there by you somewhere. Because people in this congregation, everybody in here knows all the books of the Bible. All right, here we go. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, from the 1996 version of the New Living Translation, okay, the 96 version, some of the newer versions, they're leaving some stuff out. And that's why I'm saying this particular version. People like that, from that verse 7, people like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So we could read it like this: for let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord. Just going back up to King James there. Now, I want to just talk to you a little bit this morning about some things. I think it will help you to believe for the right things. I think it will cause you to expect God to do what he promised in his word. Now, John Maxwell said this: a belief holds great power because it changes an individual's expectations. Okay? See, if you can get a person to believe the Bible, if I can get you to believe the Bible, I can get you expecting to receive what God says. Hello? Now, I did that, you know, I'm trying to see if you're there. See, and I did that, where was it I did that? And one of the countries, and I just said hello, and they would always say hi back at me. But, you know, I do that as a little deal to say, to get a response, to see if you're listening to what I'm saying. Now, we must have an expectant attitude if we're going to receive anything from God. We have an expectant attitude. You know, a lot of times people talk about, well, they got an attitude. Well, in this particular case, you need this attitude. You know, you need to get a hold of this attitude of expecting God to do what he said he would do. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We're going to start with the 17th verse, okay? Proverbs 23. I'm going to read this from the Amplified, okay? Because what does Amplified mean? It just sort of amplifies what the scripture says, gives us a little better understanding of what is being said. Okay. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord all the day long. 18. For surely there is a latter end, a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation shall not be cut off. Expectation shall not be cut off. Now, we are not like sinners that don't have any hope and have no basis for expecting anything from God. Now, we don't envy sinners. You know, sometimes people say, well, look at them. They're not even living right. Look what all's happening to them. Hey, quit worrying about what's happening to them and start expecting God to bless you. Envying sinners will get you absolutely nothing. Hello? But expectation from God will get you what you need. Now, hey, how many of you have ever been with somebody or your own self? They get a call and you see who it is, or they see who it is, and you say, oh no. What do they want now? Oh no, not again. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Some of you look at that and see that number on that screen and you know who it is and you just hit the off button. You know you do it, so don't sit there with that pious look on your face. Well, evidently, this person, the words they speak is not good. And you can't expect, when you take the call, you can't expect anything good. You know, you get these calls from these people all the time wanting, you know, there's nothing wrong with your credit card, but, you know, and I hang up by that time. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, pretty soon you learn to look at the number and then it's out of state. I don't know nobody from that zip code. Boom. You know, because it can't be anything but one of them kind of calls anyway. See what, you know what I'm talking about. But, you know that if you answer it, it's not anything, going to be anything worthwhile. Right? It's just a bothersome call. In fact, I got one the other day, and I was talking to a real person for a change. Most time it's a computer, so I don't. And especially, let me tell you a little trick you learn. It's most of the time it's a computer anyway. If you don't say hello but once, they won't start talking. If you say hello twice, they'll start talking. That computer's rigged that way. Anybody figured that out but me? Oh, I got some more people figured that out. So I just remain quiet, and then if you just stay there, pretty soon it'll hang up. But I did get a person the other day, and when they finally stopped, you know, when they start, you can't get a word in edgewise, you know. Blah, 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 blah. They just go like a machine gun. And finally they stopped, and I said, listen, I don't need that product. I don't want that product, and I don't want to be called no more. Thank you very much. Bye. And hung up. Okay. But I told them that I didn't want that. Now, have you ever noticed that some people's expectation in life is strictly negative? Anybody ever notice that there's some people like that? They expect bad things all the time. They don't expect a good thing. I've run into some people like that, you know. Now, probably they've had quite a few negative experiences, and they've had probably had quite a few disappointing circumstances that have caused them to be that way. They've heard so much bad stuff until now they're that way. Maybe they've heard this particular person talk about their company, their church, their family, their community, or whatever. You know, many people have actually just lost expectation of receiving anything good in life. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, can anything good come from there? You know, you ever heard that statement? You know, their expectation of it. You know, some people, you would think that they had drilled a hole in the bottom of their shoe and all their expectation had drained out of their life. And they have no expectation of anything anymore. They're just going through life day after day doing same old, same old. Just that's it. That's the attitude they got. Nothing's going to change. They don't expect it to change. They don't look for a change. This is going to be the same. I get up at 5 o'clock. I get ready. I leave for work. I get to work at 8 o'clock. I get off at, I have lunch at this time. I get off. I go home. I'm going to eat some supper. Then I'm going to sit in a lazy boy. I'm going to watch a little television, fall asleep in the lazy boy. And then I'm going to get up and go to bed. I'm going to do the same thing all over again the next day. And that's their life over and over again. They don't expect anything. They don't look for anything. Come on, don't look at me like that. That's the way a lot of people are going through life. And that's a horrible way to go through life. Especially if you know God. You should not be in a same old attitude. But you should realize that you can expect good things to have come your way and to be happening in your life. Look to God with an expectant attitude. You know, now, an expectant attitude, what is the first step toward having receiving from God? Peter Wade said this, expectation is the attitude that brings into reality the answer we need. You know, actually, this expect series, actually, if you notice, the same principles for faith are the same principles that we use in the expecting attitude for expecting something. It's the same principles. All right. You'll see it here in a minute. Now, then the first step then is to expect God to do what he said he would do. You know, a lot of people read the word of God, but they don't really expect it to ever happen. Hello. Now, we, in a general sort of way, we'll say, oh, just expect God to do it. However, the question we must really answer is, what can we specifically expect from God? My dad used to say it all the time, and people that travel with him, Philip and Richie, they travel with him on the road, and some other people sitting in his congregation have traveled with him on the road. And he would say all the time that you have to expect something before you get anything. From God, I'm talking about. I know when I was a kid and he pastored church, people used to come down to the altar, and he would do this. I've even seen him do it. When he was an evangelist, I mean, he left that. I was in the middle of my third grade year, and I've been in his meeting. And people come to the altar to pray, and he'd tap me on the shoulder and said, what are you praying for? Oh, I'm just praying. Nothing really, just praying. Said, that's exactly what you're going to get. Nothing. You have to be specific with God and tell him what you expect from these promises in the Word of God. Hello? Now, we can expect what the Bible says. Is that right? I want to establish that with you now. We can expect what the Bible says, right? All right. Then we can expect God to perform his word in our lives. Then we can expect the Holy Spirit to be with us all the time. Then we can expect angels to be camped around about us. We can expect the blood of Jesus to protect us. We can expect to have authority in the name of Jesus. We can expect God always to have a plan for us. We can expect to receive all the benefits of our redemption package. We can expect God to hear our prayers and answer them. We can expect the grace of God to be freely available for us. We can expect our faith in God to work for us. We can expect Jesus, our high priest, to be on the job, ever interceding for us with the Father above. We can expect God to be for us, not against us. We can expect God to forgive us when we mess up. We can expect the power of God to move in our lives. We can expect God to meet all of our needs. We can expect all of these things because they're written right here in the Word of God. The good news is that's just 15 of them. There's a lot more that's written in here that you can expect. According to Luke 18:27, when it's impossible with you or with man, it's possible with God. We can expect that. See, we have to get that expectant attitude. When we get the expectant attitude, our expectations will become realities. If I can expect to receive these things, then you might say to me, well, why are they not working? Well, you have to turn your expectations into realities. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Anybody getting anything out of this? Anybody already stirring up an expectant attitude? Getting ready to receive from God? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I got excited about this message. No, there's excitement when you're expecting something. You know, when you're a little kid, you know, and your parents tell you, Grandma and Grandpa are coming. They're going to be here about noon today. You get outside expecting Grandma and Grandpa to get there. Because when Grandpa get there, he's going to take you and buy you some boots because he always did. He bought me one pair every September. He bought me a pair of boots. My Grandpa did. For years, I didn't wear them because Grandpa wasn't there no more, but now I do. But I expected something. When Grandpa got there, he's going to give me 50 cents. Now, it don't sound like a lot today, but back in 49, 50 cents was a lot of money. Anybody old enough to remember that when 50 cents was a... Well, man, I saw some young kid raise his hand. I know better than that. He don't know nothing about it. I could take 50 cents and go down to the drugstore because they served hamburgers. How many remember when they used to have a fountain back in the drugstore, serve hamburgers and fries and all that stuff? Anybody remember that? Man, I could take that 50 cents and go to the drugstore and I could get a big old cheeseburger and a cherry limeade and still have 10 cents left over. All right. Everybody found 1 Corinthians 9. All right. We're reading here from the New King James. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it the oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. Now, you could say this, the one who plows and the one who threshes should expect to share in the harvest. Okay? Now, what is Paul talking about here? Well, if you go on reading, you'll find out that there are two things that he was talking about. First of all, he's talking about how it was right for him to expect to reap material benefits from the Christian, from the Corinthians, if he labored to bring them spiritual food. You know, he points out the example how a person who works in plowing the field or gathering the crop should also expect to receive something from his labor. Now, for most of you, especially the young ones that don't understand when it said the ox treading out the grain, what it is, they had an oxen. He was hooked up to this pole, and he walked around and around, and they would run the grain through there and thresh it. You know, you see these threshing machines do the same thing. They take the grain off of the head and so forth. That's what that was. And it's not right for that oxen to be doing that work if he don't get to eat some of that grain. That's what they're talking about. Now, and by this we can see that we had to put some effort or action to receive what we're expecting from God. You know, some people think that this expectation we're talking about is a passive thing. No, it's not passive. You know, if you're hard to work on a farm or hard to work on a factory or hard to work anywhere, and you don't show up for work, but you sit home on the couch and expect to get paid, your expectation is in vain. So, you know, when you go to, how many of you got a job? All right, you go to work and you work a certain number of hours or you do your work, and you expect at the end of that work period, whether it be, you know, some people by the month, some every 2 weeks, some twice a month, you know, you expect, if you punch in a time card, most of the time, you know, when I was going to Bible school and I was working at Merchants Fast Motor Freight, I loaded and unloaded trucks. Then I worked at the plastics manufacturing company making plastic bowls. But, you know, the day that on the Friday that was payday, when I would go get my time card to punch out, in that time card slot was an envelope with a check in it for what I had been doing. But all the time I was doing that work, I expected to receive something. Hello? See, we need to learn that expecting from God is waiting on God, all right, but it's not a passive thing. Actually, what we expect from God will determine our action. Our expectation will cause us to act in accordance with the Word of God. If we never obey what God's Word says, then we should not expect to receive anything. That's like the person that takes a job but sits on the couch and doesn't do any work and then expects to get paid. He's not going to get paid. When we expect, if you just sit there and expect The promises of God to work for you without doing something, you're not going to get anything. We have to act on God's word to receive. We got to expect when we act to receive. See, first of all, speak the word. Even when it looks like it can't happen and it won't happen, according to Mark 11, you speak the word. Once you speak the word, then you keep speaking the word, expecting something to happen. You know, you can tell whether a person is expecting to receive anything or not by listening at how they talk. Now, they can say they're believing, but listen to them talk for a little bit, and you'll find out that they're just saying words because they think that's what you want to hear. But if you listen to them talk, you can tell they're not expecting anything. Actually, I have heard people say, man, I can't believe that happened. Man, I can't believe God did that for me. Well, that tells me right there, they never were expecting God to do it for them in the first place. Am I right or wrong? Because if they wouldn't say, I can't believe it, if they were expecting it. Am I right or am I wrong? Come on, don't look at me in that tone of voice. It's the truth. Your words are an indicator of what you expect out of life. Secondly, corresponding actions to what we believe is necessary. You know, James says, we're going down our reading in James, and he said, show me your faith without your action, and I'll show you my faith by my action. That's my paraphrase of it, our corresponding actions. It's corresponding actions is us asking God, telling God, this is what your word said, now this is what I expect. You know, I wrote a paper called Corresponding Actions when I was a junior in high school at Canville Bible Academy. In Bible class, we had to write a paper. And everybody's wondering what they're going to write on. And I said, man, I need to write on something because everybody else will write on something. I'm going to write on something nobody else ever heard of. And I went and got my dad's sermon, Corresponding Actions. And so I looked at his notes on corresponding actions, and I wrote my paper according to his notes, because I knew nobody else would even come close to that subject. And Brother Dad Schaefer, he was the head of the school then. He was about 75, 76 years old. He's an old man. Guess what I'll be next in September. But when you're a junior in high school, that's old. Now it's not that old, I don't think, at all. But anyway, I'm the only paper that he got up in front of the whole class and said, man, this was a different thought. I never thought about this myself. And Hagen, you got a A double plus. All right. Come on now. See, corresponding actions is expectation. It's your act of expectation of God to do what he said he would do. And then thirdly, the third thing, thank God for what you're expecting. When you don't see it, when you don't feel it, when the devil tells you it can never happen, you keep expecting. You thank God ahead of time before it ever shows up. Expect God to answer you and then obey what he tells you to do. You can expect God to do what he said he would do here if you do what he tells you to do. How many times in the Word of God have you ever noticed that he says, if you do this, I will do this? Anybody ever notice that there's a lot of scripture in there that has to do, you do something, then God said he would do something? Anybody ever look in there and see it? Well, you see, that's our expectation. We do that expecting something for it. Hello? Now, just like myself, been there many times. Philip tonight, he'll preach here. I've gone to a lot of places and he preached. And I went with the expectation, I went with the expectation of receiving an offering after I delivered the word. But I could not expect an offering if I just went there and sat on the pew and said, all right, I'm here. I expect y'all to give me an offering. No, they're not going to give me an offering for sitting on the pew, just like you don't get an offering for sitting on the pew. You know what you get? When you sow your seed, you get exactly what you expect from sowing that seed from what the Word of God says. Not what somebody, not what I say, not what somebody else says, not some big rigmarole that somebody gives you. You get what you expect from what the Word of God says. The Word of God said that if I bring my tithes into the storehouse, I can expect something. The Word of God says that if I sow my seed or give my offering, I can expect something. The Word of God says that if I get sick, that he has by his stripes, I am healed, I can expect something. Hello. The Word of God says that he will protect us. He'll give his angels charge over us. Therefore, I can expect it. We will get in that car in a few moments, a little bit. And we will start to drive to go for a vacation. And my wife, she always does it, so I don't do it. I let her do it, and then I say, amen, I agree to it. But she will say, Father, I thank you for a good trip. I thank you for protection. Now, what? And I say, amen, praise the Lord. I agree with that. Now, what have we done? We're expecting that, but we have not passively, but we through expectation, we thank God ahead of time for a safe trip, safe travel, so forth and so on, right? We do that all the time. How many of you do that all the time with different things in your life? You do that all the time with different things in your life. When you do that, do you do it just to be doing it? Or do you expect something? See, that's waiting on God expectantly, not passive. You getting anything? All right. Expect God. Hey, write that down somewhere. Expect God. And then put it somewhere where you can see it all the time. So it reminds you, never quit expecting God. God never quits on you, but you quit on God. When we quit expecting from God, we quit receiving. As long as we continue to believe and expect God's word to work in our lives, we shall walk the victorious life, and we shall enjoy a life filled with all the good things that he has promised. And I will give you exactly what I said I would give you if you will follow me and keep expecting and keep believing, and you'll walk the road of life, and you'll sing and you'll shout and you'll jump and you'll run with glee, because now all your needs are met and all you can do is see me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Might as well quit on that one. I can't do no better than that. That's the Holy Spirit. I can't do no better than that. I might want to just lay it down right there. All right. Hallelujah. I trust you got something out of this morning. I did my best to get you in that direction. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for the word today. Minister to us in every way. Thank you for it. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment, if you happen to be in this place right now and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to find him. If you happen to be in this place right now and you don't know if you've ever accepted Christ or not, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you don't know whether you're a Christian or not, I want to give you an opportunity. If you know that you need to rededicate your life to God, I want to give you an opportunity. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand anywhere in this room right now. Just lift your hand. Anybody, anywhere, lift your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, there happens to be one person in this place today that needs to accept you or rededicate their life. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will minister to them as they go from this place and they can't be comfortable doing anything until they make their heart right with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let me read. We're going to prepare for communion now. We can expect everything that I preached about because of this table right here. The shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they're preparing, let me read. For I received of the Lord that also which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which you was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Today, we believe in open communion. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're welcome to receive communion with us. As they are serving you right now, would you please take the emblems and hold them until we all are served and we'll all partake together? I want you to be worshiping God with these singers as they sing after you. If you want to close your eyes, wait till after you've been served, and then you can close your eyes. But let's worship and let's know and realize what this is all about, okay?
And he became sin who knew no sin, that he might become his righteousness. Messiah, he's the Lord of all.
Hallelujah. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Hold in your hand a little wafer and a little cup of juice. These do not become the body and the blood of Jesus. They're simply emblems that represent that. And as we hold these, as we partake, we're remembering what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And it's because of that that we have what we have today. It's because of that that we can expect to receive what the Word of God tells us. So I'm going to pray a prayer here. You pray your own prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. As I hold these emblems in my hand, I thank you for taking the stripes on your back. Your body was beaten and broken for our healing. I thank you as I hold this cup representing your shed blood. You gave your life and shed your blood on Calvary that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for that and we give you the glory and the honor. Break and eat. Shall we drink together? Let each person in your own way
You thank your Lord and your Savior for what he's done for you. Father, I thank you today. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that that blood surrounds my family. Thank you that you've given us everything that you've given us, Father. I thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Everybody stand and let's sing, please.
For it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows.
Never lose its power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.